Doom do 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 doom do do.
Hi, plant friends. Welcome to the epic collaboration that is episode 93 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hi, plant friends. I hope you've had wonderfully planty weeks. I have had a wonderful week of community getting to know all of the wonderful plant tubers that are featured in this multimedia collaboration today. So I know that there is this wild world of planty YouTubers, which we also call PlantTube, which I'm a part of now with the Bloom and Grow Radio YouTube channel. And I wanted to learn more, and I know that you guys wanted to learn more because you have been sharing with me who you're watching. So I've put together this cross-media podcast YouTube collaboration featuring 12 of your favorite plant tubers. So I polled you guys on Instagram and Facebook asking who your favorite plant tubers are, and then I went and I asked them if they would come hang with me for a little bit. So it's been a really interesting couple of weeks getting to know them and getting to know YouTube better. So here's how this collaboration works. This is the podcast episode component of it, where I interview Becca De La Plants, who is my plant friend IRL and a wonderful plant tuber. She breaks down the history of YouTube, how plant tube differs from normal YouTube. We have a beautiful conversation about her experience as a plant lady, how YouTube grows, how the YouTubers monetize, and etiquette for people who are consuming YouTube. It's a really interesting conversation. And then you're going to hear from the 12 featured YouTubers or plant tubers on why they love their YouTube channels and why you should go check them out. Then you can head over to the Bloom and Grow YouTube channel, where there is the video how to sow, grow, and nourish a plant tube. So that is where our 12 planty YouTubers got together, and they each came up with a unique growth tip. So if you are interested about how YouTube works or what it takes to grow or create a plant tube or a YouTube channel, this is a really interesting episode. Each of them give a breakdown of their channels and their specific growth tips. So if you have any interest on creating a YouTube channel or a plant tube channel, you should definitely go check out that video. Also, it's just really fun to see all of these plant tubers on one video. It's really cool. When I put it together, it made me really emotional because there's such a nice community of plant people out there on YouTube. So that's this collaboration. I really hope you guys enjoy it. And let me know if you like episodes and videos like this, because I could see doing one for plantfluencers on Instagram. I could see doing one for other podcasters. I could see making this into a whole series if it's something that you are interested in and enjoy. And special thanks to the plant tubers who agreed and were totally game to make this dream and thought become a planty reality. Becca De La Plants, who you'll hear from first, then Betsy Begonia, Nick Pileggi, Rachel from Heart-Shaped Leaves, Christian from Crazy Plant Guy, Nicole from My Clean Leaves, Harley G, Adam from Not Dude, Daryl from Houseplant Journal, Sharina Talata, Gerard from Gerard's Horticulture Culture, and Pam from Pam's Pretty Plants. It has been so fun to get to know all of these very special plant people. We've had a couple of Zoom calls, and they're just all really awesome, and they bring something really unique to the YouTube plant space, and I'm thankful for them. You know who I'm also thankful for? My Patreon supporters. We've got two new ones in the Patreon Plant Friend crew. Thank you, Lauren Cruz and Brandon Daugherty. The Patreon Plant Friends contribute monetarily to Bloom and Grow to help me bring this podcast, YouTube, and all of my other channels to as many people as humanly possible. If you are interested in helping support the show, you can check the link in the show notes to learn more. Also, if you guys are looking for fun stuff to binge, and if you're maybe new to Bloom and Grow Radio and you don't know what episodes to start, make sure that you take the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's a really fun 2-minute quiz that I created for you. You take the quiz and you get your plant parent personality, and it brings you to a page where I kind of share about your personality, your strengths and weaknesses, and then I give you suggested plants, planty projects, and Bloom and Grow episodes that are tailored specifically for your lifestyle. I had so much fun putting it together. I've heard great feedback from you guys who have taken it. So if you haven't taken it, click the link in the show notes and give it a go. I'm so excited to finally also introduce you to Becca of Becca De La Plants, who has become a lovely friend of mine. We have a beautiful conversation. Today, we are supported by my favorite soil company, Espoma Organics. Espoma Organics is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. And plant friends, it is planting time. It is gardening time. And I'm sure that you have some sort of soil-related activity that you have been waiting to check off your to-do list. Whether you are starting to fertilize and repot your indoor plant babies after a dormant period, maybe you're starting to amend your garden beds or plant up containers of herbs and veggies for your balconies like I just did, Espoma makes the products for you. Whether it's their garden soil, their raised bed soil, their potting soil, or more, like their single ingredient amendments and fertilizers and their horticultural sprays. I planted up my balcony garden this week, plant friends. I had the best time. I had so much soil under my fingernails, and I was so thankful to have Espoma organic potting soil to use for my containers. And I sprinkled in a little bit of their Biotone starter to get my plants settled and happy in their containers because it is made with mycorrhizae, which is a type of fungi that actually works symbiotically with the roots of your plants and helps them uptake water and nutrients a lot more effectively. So whether you're interested in their soils, the Biotone, their easy dose liquid concentrates to make your fertilizing practices foolproof, check out Espoma.com to find your local Espoma dealer or head to the link in the show notes with my Espoma Amazon storefront with all of my favorite picks. Once again, visit Espoma.com to see where your local Espoma dealers are or click the link in the show notes to check my favorite products on Amazon. Okay, plant friends, here's Becca. Welcome to the Bloom and Grow Radio podcast, Becca.
Hi.
Technically, this is, I guess, your second time because you were in our live taping episode, which was so amazing, from Tucson.
Yes, I'm so glad to be back. Thank you for having me.
I love how our friendship has grown, bloomed and grown over the last year. But I've talked about you before on other podcasts of just how, like, I think you're just like a shining beacon example of what, like, a plant friend and what, like, trying to make a plant connection should be like, and also trying to work with another, like, brand or business in the space, because we met, you had come to Folia Collective, the live taping in California. We met, had been going back and forth on Instagram before that, but we started talking about doing a Tucson event, and you really just made yourself so available to me, and you said, you know, however I can help, I want to do it. And we, like, worked, and really together, like, I mean, I'd say you kind of did it, but we put together the most fun special night for the Tucson plant community.
Oh my gosh. It was so much fun. I still think about it. It was a year ago and it was so awesome.
It was so special. And yeah, it was almost because it was a year ago, a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Right.
And then, like, you and I have gotten to know each other personally throughout the process. And we hung out when I was in Tucson and I got to see all of your plants and just, like, have my jaw on the floor about it. And we've become friends also as business people in the space and give each other advice. And when I wanted to launch my YouTube, you were very helpful. And so I knew that when I wanted to do an episode on the wild world of YouTube and plant, you were who I needed to talk to.
Oh my goodness. I'm so glad. Like, it's been so fun. It's been a real treat becoming friends with someone who is also in this space working as a business, because it can be really hard to get solid information, especially from someone in your quote unquote industry. So it just makes it specialized and just so helpful to know, like, which companies are good to work with. Just, like, how to ask these questions, because plants as a business outside of nurseries is a very new thing. So,
and I think a lot of YouTubers experience this, but also me as a podcaster, you know, you start these channels or this podcast because it's a pure passion thing and it's fun. And then you realize, okay, if we're going to continue doing this, you know, I'm in my third year of a podcast. I can't keep paying out of my pocket to do to do this. Yeah. So we got to figure out how to, like, make enough money to at least float the business, you know? And then, okay, well, if I'm going to be putting my time and energy into it, then we need to not only break even, but we need to have some money that I get back. So it's an interesting transition, and it's really helpful to have other people to lean on because it can be isolating and scary. So hopefully we'll kind of help anyone. Hopefully this episode will be that to people who might be interested in starting a plant tube or a plant channel. So before we get into that, why don't you share your experience as being a plant lady and creating the Becca De La Plants channel?
Yeah. I've always been surrounded by plants. My family has always been very planty, but not in the way that I am planty. So it's a bit different. My family, we live in Tucson, so it's very desert and dry, and the types of plants that we have here is very different than a lot of other people. So my family always created an oasis for us in our yard with outdoor plants and trees and flowers, just all these really beautiful things. So I was always surrounded by it, and I always knew the beautiful things that plants could bring to someone's life. And so when I moved out and I went to college, I didn't really think too much about it, honestly. And it wasn't until I was leaving college and coming out of being a student and putting a lot of my time and efforts into that, that I realized, like, who am I? Mm-hmm. Who is Becca outside of being a student? And I took a trip to Italy, and I was around really awesome food. You know this. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of fell in love with basil, which sounds kind of silly, but I wanted to bring that into my home. And so I started off with growing basil. And I am so sad that that plant is dead now. It's long gone, but it is seriously like basically the start of me wanting to grow plants for myself. And that started with wanting to remember my time in Italy and also just like find out who I am, like who is this person? And so that was my first like plant. And then from there, I just realized that really all plants need is water and sun, and I can do that. And that's, mm-hmm. that seems really simple. So from there, I started getting more and more tropical indoor plants, and I started following people on Instagram. And that's really where it started for me, was realizing that there was this entire community of people. Christine from Work Hard, Plant Hard was actually one of the first people I followed. So it was so cool to get to meet her at the Folia event. Like, it was so cool. But that's basically where it started. And from there, I had always wanted to start a YouTube channel, and I just didn't feel passionate enough about anything. And then finally, plants came along, and I felt like that could be my contribution. So that's basically the shortened version.
That's amazing. So now you have two channels, but the first one, Becca De La Plants, is the one that you've been pouring your heart and soul into. How long have you had it now for?
About a year and a half. Yeah.
Wow. You have that many subscribers in only a year and a half. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is actually really crazy. I genuinely, if I only had like one subscriber, I would still be doing it, you know, but it is really cool to know that there are so many people that see potential in me, because your followers kind of become your big support system.
Yeah. And your cheerleaders.
Yeah, you make relationships with people who are constantly commenting and, well, not constantly, but, you know, like consistently commenting and creating a relationship, and you get to know them. And I feel like I share my successes with them because they're my cheerleaders, like you said. So it's really, really sweet.
Yeah, I've been having these bi-monthly calls with my Patreon supporters while we've been in quarantine, and I've connected with them like literally all over the world. And it's so funny because some of them show up every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and now it's like, I know the last time they were sick, or I know the last plant that, you know, it's like weird. You remember these things and you really do start developing friendships and relationships with them, which is so cool.
Yeah.
So you have been killing it on YouTube, but I guess in the plant tube realm. So let's just talk about YouTube a little bit. And then YouTube, this crazy thing that I feel like people have think has already popped and everybody has a YouTube channel, blah, blah, blah. And then mm-hmm. there's this little subsect, little corner of YouTube that I guess has gotten the name plant tube or plant tubers. So number one, where did that name come from and how has it kind of evolved?
Oh my gosh. How do any of these strange words come about? I actually have no idea. I have no idea where that came from, but you know, also Instagram is Plantstagram. Mm-hmm. And I think this just comes from us wanting to like name our little space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it is so small and there are like very prominent people in it, but not as much as other communities. Mm-hmm. I mean, PlantTube is a very, very small piece of YouTube as a whole. And I think that's what's so cool about it, is because we're just at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, whoever is on YouTube right now creating videos, we are the originals. I mean, we really are, because yeah. I don't see plants going away. I just don't. I mean, they never have.
50, right? There's probably under 50 plant tubers.
Probably, yeah. I mean, probably something around there, yeah.
Or at least under 100. And you think about how many, I mean, when I think about YouTube, I think about makeup. Like, makeup mm-hmm. is like one of the big kind of verticals in YouTube. And there's thousands and thousands of different makeup channels and so mm-hmm. much money being pumped into that kind of industry and that sect. And you're right, YouTube, plant tube is like really still
a very little germinated seed that has a lot of growing to do.
Yeah, it does. And it's cool that we get to water it and be a part of that.
Totally. So within PlantTube, are there even more niches within PlantTube? I mean, I feel like there are people who specialize in rare plants, and then there are people who only do unboxing or plant shopping, and then there are only people who do DIY. Like, what has your experience been like kind of evaluating the PlantTube scene?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there definitely are. I would say every channel has its own thing that they do that they're really good at, which is so awesome because you get to see people doing what they love within plants, because we all love plants, but plants can mean so many things. It could mean looking at the history of plants. It could be looking at rare plants, common plants, shopping videos. Like, there are people who do a lot of shopping videos, and you have certain people to go to for certain things. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so cool about it. And also, a lot of people say to grow on a platform like YouTube or Instagram or TikTok now, you have to be super niche down. And to niche down even further than houseplants is really big. And there are people that are doing that, like focusing strictly on like avocados. You know, Scott grows an avocado tree is the only one that I've seen do that. So like anything you need to know about avocado trees, he's the person to go to, you know, so you create yourself as that singular resource. It's really powerful.
One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to called Smart Passive Income, Pat Flynn says that the riches are in the niches.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my favorite quote. The riches are in the niches, baby. What else do we need to know about PlantTube?
Oh, goodness. Well, let's see. Let me look at my notes here. What else do we need to know about PlantTube? Oh, I think that PlantTube is a really easy community to get into because, number one, it is really small, and because of that, and also plant people are just really sweet, typically. So you have a really pure part of the internet, and that isn't to say that nasty things don't happen, but it happens a lot less than in other communities, probably because we are still very small, but people who spend a majority of their life caring for other things and cultivating literal life,
yeah,
they're very special people, even if they have a bad day. I mean, that is such a pure thing. It's such a pure hobby. So you get really, really sweet people and people of all ages as well, which is really nice because I have people who are following me that are 12 years old and people who are following me that are like 80 years old, and you get the whole mix.
Whereas in
other communities, you might have a really high concentration of 18 to 24 year olds because you do makeup and that's, or whatever it may be. But we kind of have it all. So our demographics are very interesting to look at. I mean, I have a lot of people in the like 65 plus range, which I never thought.
So interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, also PlantTube, I mean, the reason why I started a YouTube, I don't even know if I qualify as a PlantTuber, but the reason why I started the YouTube component to the Bloom and Grow podcast is simply because it's visual. On Instagram, before IGTV, before the video capabilities that Instagram had, I loved Instagram because it was the visual component of the podcast. If I was talking about a plant, I could post about it. That's a visual hobby, man. Like, we're looking at plants, we're enjoying them, we're taking them in, we're cutting them, we're explaining these things that really do need visual aids.
Right.
And so YouTube is an amazing container for that, because when you're propagating a plant, you want to see how to do it. And I find that when I'm looking for specific how-tos of propagation, you know, those first couple of times I was propagating, those first couple of times, I remember I had to repot. I had these monsteros that were massively overgrown. Like, I mean, the roots were like tumbling out of the drainage holes. And I remember going to YouTube and watching every single monstero repotting video and aerial note. Like, I was so confused about the aerial roots. And I watched every video on YouTube before I did it, because I was like, I want to see as many people do this as possible and get as many visual cues and techniques as possible before I do it to myself. In addition to reading some blogs and all of that good stuff too. So yeah, I mean, it's also just a really great visual thing. And for the podcast, it's good because I can make a visual accompaniment video or show what I talk about. And, you know, we've all got these plant collections we want to show off. So it's fun to be able to make a video on all of the different peperomia you have, or all of the different begonia, or all, whatever else everybody's collecting these days.
Yeah. Well, in marketing, because I work in marketing for my day job, and the big wave right now is everything is going visual. Everything's going videos. And it's really hard to capture someone's attention with a blog post. It's so much more work than if you were to create a video, which is, you know, I mean, blogging is huge still. I don't think that'll ever go away. It's just that videos are big.
You see that on Instagram even. Instagram used to be all photos, and now it's all of the big influencers are doing IGTV videos.
Right.
No one's really, or they're posting like five pictures. They're posting like a gallery of photos that people can interact with. So it is very interesting. So we have this amazing companion video that we've worked on together with an amazing collection of plant tubers in the space.
Yes.
And the video is how to sow, grow, and nourish a YouTube channel. So for those listening, if you're interested in starting your own YouTube channel, go watch this video because it's all of the plant tubers in the space giving their tips. And everybody gives a different tip. And Becca is on it too. She gives a tip. But I wanted to take a minute to talk about the watchers. So as a consumer of YouTube and you as a creator, are there etiquette rules that, what is the proper etiquette for if I go and watch your video? Are there any like no's that you see people do? Are there any like things that are wonderful that like encourage you that you wish people did more? What's been your experience there?
Yeah. So I think as far as etiquette goes, there's a few things that viewers can keep in mind about YouTubers and just the YouTube space and how it works. With like, and with that, you can empower people that you watch and also just help them along in their journey. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I want to say is know that liking and commenting on a video and actually being subscribed to a channel you like is so extremely helpful.
Yeah.
It's something that we say in every video, like give it a like, comment down below, make sure you're subscribed. But those things, if you interact with a YouTube video that you like, that video is signaled to YouTube. Like YouTube knows then, hey, this video is engaging. We're going to bump it up because ultimately YouTube wants you to be on their website longer. That's really like the reasoning behind that, which is a little weird, but it does help the creator. If you want to help someone for free, like the video, make a comment, you know what I mean? Just interact with the video in some way. It's so helpful.
Because what did you say? Because as a consumer, I'm watching all these videos for free. How long does it take you to make a video on average? Like the time, when it comes to the time, the planning, you know, there's so much that people don't understand that goes into these video creations.
I think that I probably spend, I mean, the number that comes to mind is maybe 10 hours on a video.
Wow.
And let's just say, I mean, transparently, I won't even make minimum wage off of that video. You know what I mean? Which is fine. That's not why I do it. Like it's for fun. That's not like, if you join YouTube for the money, like you're in the wrong industry. It's just not going to happen. Like, you know, people with like millions of subscribers, like they're doing great. But like for the average YouTuber, it's not a huge moneymaker. So, I mean, for videos that are more in depth, the videos that a lot of people find a lot of value from, those are 10 to 15 hours. And I would say that there are creators in the plant space that spend even more time than me because they really, really care about production and quality and they spend so much time editing. But I've kind of learned that, you know, it's better to show up imperfect than to not show up at all. And that's been a really big learning curve for me. But yeah, I think just like understanding, well, one of the points that I wanted to say is everyone on any platform has the right to express their opinions. And on YouTube, it's a lot easier to be critical because you're anonymous. I mean, unless you're commenting from a channel that you have cultivated, you're an anonymous person with a Gmail account and no one can ever track you. So I think it's a lot easier for trolls and negative comments to show up with really without a thought about the creator and how that might make them feel. And so we as creators need to build thicker skin, but we also need to understand that we don't need to take that. So as someone who watches YouTube, if you disagree with something that someone is saying, you don't agree with it, you don't like it, whatever it may be, just understand that helpful and insightful feedback is so much better than like demanding and invalidating feedback. And that's sometimes what it can become, especially over text when you're just typing out, you don't really think about the tone.
I agree. I think, first off, I just want to circle back to the first tip, liking. Think about that these creators are spending 10 to 15 hours on the video that you're watching for free. So the least you could do is click the heart. You know, click the like, click the subscribe. That's the least you could do. It takes zero of your energy and just validates and helps them in a way to keep making content. But I do think that that's interesting because constructive feedback, constructive criticism is amazing. But YouTube, because of the restrictions, because there's so much less set up when you have an account, it is easier to troll on YouTube than it is to troll on any other form of social media. And unfortunately, I think you see that in YouTube. And you and I have talked about this offline where I feel like of all the media platforms, because I fully agree with you, plant people are the kindest, most amazing people. But of all the media platforms in the plant space, YouTube, there are more haters in the YouTube space than in the Instagram or the other space. And I think it's because that's the precedent that is set. You know, the makeup people with the huge accounts have rivalries and have haters and play into it. And it's like a part of the show. And I feel like, you know, the leaders set the example that way and it trickles down. So even if it is the plant space. So yeah, I think that's something really interesting to think about is there's a creator and a human on the other side of whatever comment you're saying, for sure. And there is a human on the other side. So if you liked the video, comment on it and tell them that it was great or connect with them and say that you have the same plant or you have the same whatever, you know? Because I think creators are super interested in having dialogues with the people that watch their videos. That's why you guys make the videos, to share your passion and try and be seen by other people who value that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I don't know, it's really easy to be critical of someone who's recording their life, whereas most, the average person, or just you commenting, you might not have a camera following you around. So, I mean, all of your little mistakes, like I did something silly in a video and someone pointed it out, and it's fine. Like, it was good for me to see that. But then again, like, the people who are commenting about it, they're not being recorded. You know what I mean? So, like, that's a whole other thing. So, we do share our lives openly, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, we deserve to get negative comments and all these things. And not to say that that happens a ton in the plant space, and I don't want the conversation to be negative, because it really is not like that.
It never is. But the 1%, the 0.001% there where it's happening, I feel like it happens on YouTube more than it happens elsewhere. But it happens on Instagram too. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
But people have that.
Yeah. It's good to be able to handle those things because that's life. I mean, people aren't going to like you, and it's just on YouTube they have the courage to say it because they're behind a screen. So, I mean, that's just how it is.
Well, and it's a beautiful exercise in facing your fears and learning how to show up for yourself. And they'll remain nameless, but in the video that accompanies this episode, someone talks about that, how their experience on YouTube has helped them shed some bad habits and stand more firmly in themselves. And it's really interesting when you think about it that way too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like public speaking twice a week or however much you post. So it is really powerful.
So what about people who might like respond to your video? So you want people to respond to a video and engage with you, but then do you feel uncomfortable when people make it too personal? Like if they ask for your address to send you something, or if they ask you to send them something, like, is there a line between the watcher and the creator that, you know, should be respected?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think there definitely is. And a lot of YouTubers have PO boxes to kind of combat that sort of thing. I mean, as a creator, just be very careful who you give your address to, because they have it forever. They have access to that forever. So I don't give my address out unless it's someone that I really trust and they're a friend that I've made a relationship with. And even then, I'm sometimes hesitant. So, I mean, as far as asking to send something to a creator or asking for them to send you something, prompted or not, I mean, sometimes you will get the comment like, here's my address, can you please send me that plant? And it's like, you don't put your address on the internet.
Don't put your address on the internet.
I mean, that has happened more than once, and like, it is shocking, but you have to know that if a creator is putting a plant on their channel that they maybe don't like right now or whatever, that doesn't mean it's up for grabs. And that doesn't mean that, like, I don't know, you can just offer them your address and they'll send it and all of these things. So there definitely needs to be, like, there is a certain amount of privacy that creators need to have, because if that gets in the wrong hands, your life could really be changed for the negative. So get a PO box if you want people to send you stuff. But, and also there's other personal questions that people ask just because you're sharing your life. And you as a creator need to set boundaries of what you are going to accept and what kind of questions you're going to answer. Because I get a lot of questions about my ethnicity, and like, it's fine, but it's like, I get a lot of questions about it and it's annoying. So it's like kind of personal as well for some people. And when you have something like that, like maybe your husband hasn't shown up in a video in a while, people are asking where he is, you know, just all these things. It's like, as a consumer, you have to know that you're only seeing a very brief segment of that person's life. And that segment that you're seeing has been edited for 10 hours.
Yeah, totally.
So,
but sometimes you just do such a good job at editing that people don't realize that, like me sometimes. Yeah, I think setting boundaries is interesting. I mean, I think anyone who has a relationship with social media, if whether you just have a personal Instagram account, even if it's private, or whatever, you have a YouTube channel, or you don't, like whether you're public or not, learning to set boundaries with yourself on social media, that's something I struggle with tremendously. And then on top of it, if you do choose to have some sort of public presence, learning the boundaries that you want to set there and talking about them with your husband or your fiance. You know, I've had to have conversations with Billy about that, of how much he wants to be or needs to be involved, and respecting that. And that is interesting too, those boundaries between the watcher, and just respecting them. Because also you can ask, but if they say no, you know, you have to respect that that's just something that you don't have to tell everyone your ethnicity if you don't want to. Like, it's that simple, you know, like, the boundaries are kind of the right to ask, the right to not. It's like equal, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Yeah. People just need to respect each other.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Forget YouTube. Everybody just needs to have some empathy and respect. I think that's it. But taking care of plants helps you nurture that skill. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know everybody's burning question is, how the heck do you guys make money? Or you guys, I'm saying you, I mean, I'm a YouTuber too, but like how, and I just hit monetization on YouTube and it's been a long road. And I think for certain people think that YouTubers make more money than they do, but you do make money. So how does that work for people who don't understand or see it?
Right. So YouTube is a part of Google. So Google has a sector called Google AdSense. And after a certain milestone on YouTube, which is as of right now, 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours, after you hit that, then you will create an account with Google AdSense. And then that is when ads will start playing on your videos. And as a YouTuber, you can decide how many ads you want in your video. So you can put as little or as many as you want, really, depending on the length of the video. Additionally to that, your AdSense revenue is also affected by how much of the ad is watched, how many views the video got. And I think, yeah, that's all.
You're also splitting the commission with YouTube.
Right.
Whatever the, say you make 30 cents from that AdSense ad that pops up, which you wouldn't, like that's way more than you would make. But say you do, you're only seeing 15%, 15 cents of that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a very small percentage. Yeah. So YouTubers, like I said earlier, YouTubers, unless they have just like a lot of subscribers and views, and also if they have a lot of really loyal people who watch those ads, they watch their videos all the way through, they are the ones that are going to see higher revenue off of YouTube AdSense. But that's the reason why a lot of YouTubers turn to sponsorships. So with a sponsorship, you are sharing a product that you trust and you like and you enjoy, or a company. And I mean, we all are pretty familiar with those. Like, sponsorships are not new to YouTube. However, it is new to PlantTube. So I feel like a lot of people get frustrated with it, or maybe don't understand exactly what it means. But I mean, a YouTuber in good conscience cannot like suggest or be sponsored by a company that they don't actually like. I mean, if that is their intention, it'll be figured out pretty quickly. And I don't know anyone who's done that. So that's another way that people make money. So by promoting a product that they love. And there's affiliate marketing, and people can use Amazon storefronts, which is super common. Like, even off YouTube, a lot of bigger Instagrammers do it too. And basically what that means is, you approved through Amazon, of course, you get a quote unquote storefront where you put a bunch of products and you can link that to a website. You can link it in your YouTube description box, all of these things. And it's basically just a way for you to share the products that you're using. And I always like to say that I prefer that people shop local first, but if they can't, it's here and available for them. And that just makes it easy, because people are always asking for links. And if I can make a small percentage of the profit, then that's a really great thing for me, because I'm already using the product and I would have shared it with them anyway. So
I always say with affiliate links, it's a way for followers to like treat themselves to their planty passion of whatever they're buying, but also treat like Bloom and Grow or Becca de la Plants. Like, it's an easy way. You're not just like donating money. You're buying something that you want and at no cost to you, because it never affects the person buying. At no cost to them, it's, we're getting a portion of it, which is so helpful. I think too, what I didn't even realize, a listener, a Bloom and Grow listener brought this to my attention, with Amazon links, as long as you click the like Becca de la Plants link, if you go to Amazon and then you buy your groceries or whatever else you need to buy, Becca will still get a little commission, because by clicking her link is what brought you to Amazon. So a listener told me that they sometimes click through my links, buy other stuff sometimes too, just because they know that hack, which kind of blew my mind, because I was like, wow, that's like insanely considerate of you.
I know. I was going to say, that's really nice. Yeah. She came over to my channel. Whoever.
But yeah, and affiliate also, if you see people using codes, like a promo code, like Bloom20 or something is like a promo code that I have. That's normally an indication that it's some sort of affiliate partnership. So the person buying will get a percentage off, and then the company will also send a percentage of that sale to whoever's code it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all very interesting, but I feel like people get confused about that. But like you said too, YouTubers get higher commissions if you watch through the ad, because you have that opportunity to skip. So if it doesn't make a difference to you, whoever's watching, that's a free way to support the YouTuber that you're enjoying, is just by letting the whole ad play out, because they will get a higher portion percentage.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't even have to be the whole ad. Like if you watch 30 seconds of the ad, that is so helpful even. Like, because I know that ads are all around us. It's really annoying. But what I do, and like, I definitely am a person who watches ads, but there are some times I just can't, but I just mute the TV or my phone and like walk away for a second and do something. And then I'm back and it's on. It's like watching a commercial on TV when we were kids. Like you just kind of, that's what's going
on.
There
was no option. Exactly.
Exactly.
Click-through option.
Yeah. So I don't know. It kind of gives you an opportunity. I'm like spinning it so that people will think that this is a good idea. But, you know, I mean, it really is. Like, it'll give you a second to look away, maybe pet your dog for 30 seconds, you know, just like, and it really is. It's a free way to give back to the person who honestly is educating you for free. I mean, I've learned so much through YouTube.
Yeah.
So many hours of entertainment, and they just do it. For free. So
this isn't Planty, but we're such big Bon Appetit fans, their YouTube channel. And I'm like, man, everything I cook, I feel like these days is thank you, Bon Appetit, for showing me that on your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And I just have to say, personally, I launched my YouTube channel last year with the help of you and Kevin from Epic Gardening gave me some tips too. 1,000 subscribers like wasn't too hard to get. And I hit 1,000 subscribers and I thought that I qualified for the monetization. And then I realized, oh my God, I didn't even have 1,000 hours of watch time because my videos are so short. And so then the crawl to 4,000 watch hours while I had 1,000 subscribers was excruciating. And we finally got there. And I think at that point I had like 2,000 subscribers or something. So know that that YouTuber that has less than 1,000 subscribers is hustling to get to that 1,000 subscribers to hit that first half of the qualification. So throw them a subscribe if you can. A couple of them are featured in our YouTube video. So go give them some love. So what's your favorite part about being a plant-tuber?
Oh my goodness. Well, there's so many things that I love. One of them is completely selfish. So as a kid, I loved being on camera. I wanted to be an actress. Like, this feels silly saying to you, but like, I was like in plays in elementary school. I was like the lead role. I loved it. It was so fun. I love being in the spotlight. Like, I am very introverted, but I love being the center of attention. Let's just be honest. And I think, you know, most YouTubers probably are in that same boat. That's why we do it. That's why it's like normal for us to be in front of a camera. I mean, it is hard to learn how to be a YouTuber in front of the camera, but that's like a big reason why I wanted to do it. Like, I've always wanted to be in the spotlight, for lack of a better term. But in addition to that, like, I don't know, you don't do it to feed your ego. You do it because you want to cultivate a community. And that's really what's most important to me and what really informs De La Plants as a brand and me as a person. Like, the most important thing for me is to know that plant people met each other because of De La Plants, or a relationship started, or a swap happened, just something tangible happened because they watched one of my videos. Like, that is the most important thing to me. And I don't know, I hope that that can be felt through my videos, because I just want people to connect, because I know how important that is, especially
in a... Speaking of that, so true to your mission, you started the local hashtag movement.
Yeah, I did.
Do you want to go over that just to get some listeners inspired to start using them?
Yeah. So, okay, well, also on a side note, I'm launching like a website for it too. That's going to have like basically like a social media site for people to connect. So I can also mention that. So a part of that, I did launch the Indoor Jungle Directory, which is a way for plant people to find each other. And that's basically through hashtags on Instagram. So by using your city, so I live in Tucson, so I'll say Tucson Indoor Jungle. And then it just counts for any city you want to put. So Columbia Indoor Jungle, New York City Indoor Jungle, NYC, like whatever way that you in your town like calls your city, whatever it is for you.
Philly Indoor Jungle, right.
Yeah. Create that hashtag and take ownership of it. Take ownership of your plant community and cultivate it. And there's been a lot of people who have connected through it, like people that would have never met each other because, I mean, they're going to the same garden centers, but not at the same time. It's like you would have been friends with these people had you been in the same place, but that doesn't always happen. So this kind of creates a way for people to meet each other. And if they're not comfortable meeting in person, but just have an online relationship even. And additionally, I've used it when I travel around the United States, because if I'm going to Seattle and I know all the good spots, Googling Seattle greenhouses is not exactly like a super great way to find like the good spots. So talking to someone local, and you might already know someone from there and not even realize that they live in Seattle or whatever the city may be. So that's another use of it. And I'm actually launching a website that it will be an offshoot of my personal website. It'll be indoorjungledirectory.delaplants.com. Actually, let me fact check that. Yeah, that's it. And basically what that's going to be is a place for plant people to create an account and enter into their indoor jungle conversations through creating groups and things like that. So people can create groups for certain cities. You can hop around to different cities if you're traveling somewhere, but it's just basically like a central place to see and talk to people in plants. So that's really exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's basically like a social network just for plant people. So it's super exciting.
When are you planning on launching it?
It will be launching on June 12th. And I'm actually starting testing in the next week or so. So yeah, that's what's going on.
So you'll have to go follow Becca. Where should people follow you to make sure that they know when that gets launched? And also to go watch your video.
Yeah. So my Instagram is De La Plants. And then like De La Plants. It's not the Spanish spelling. It's just the English spelling, which in hindsight I should have, you know, but anyway. And then the Instagram for Indoor Jungle Directory is just Indoor Jungle Directory on Instagram. And then I have a YouTube, Becca De La Plants. Of course, we've been talking about that. And then my website is delaplants.com.
And let's plug your second YouTube channel as well, in case people are into more lifestyle DIY stuff as well.
Yeah. So my second channel, it's a baby. I am one of those smaller YouTubers that has not been monetized on that one yet. So that one is Becca Calhoun. So that is my married name, and that's C-A-L-H-O-U-N. And that channel is basically just dedicated to lifestyle things. So I do a lot of sewing and DIYs, thrifting, traveling. Those are just some of the things that I love outside of plants. And I thought that I would create a little hub for that too. So where people
can
get to know me better.
1,000 subscribers. So everybody go subscribe to that channel.
Yeah. Let's get to monetization.
Well, Becca, thank you so much for all of this amazing insight you've given us to the wild world of Plant Tube. And everyone has to go click the link in the show notes and go watch the YouTube video we've put together with all these amazing planty YouTubers. But we actually have a compilation of the planty YouTubers who are on the video in audio, giving you extra bonus insights to why they love their YouTube accounts. So here they are.
I really enjoy making people laugh and bringing them joy. I just find it fulfilling when people tell me in the comments that they thought something was really funny, or that I made their day, or that something in that video provided them with something that they just needed at this time. That's the whole reason I started my channel. I just wanted to connect with people in my community by making them laugh. Otherwise, I enjoy the challenge of researching plants, like their histories, their identity, anything that requires me to start digging for facts and information. I like research, and then the challenge of being able to transform that research into something enjoyable to watch and listen to, not like a lecture, but like a story. That is what I really love. My name is Betsy, and my channel name is Betsy Begonia.
Hi, my name is Harley, and my YouTube channel is called Harley G. By far, my number one favorite thing about having a YouTube channel is the fact that I'm able to spend time on a hobby I really genuinely love with others that share the same love for plants as I do. When in my real life, in the real world, people I'm talking with day to day don't really share that hobby. So it's really cool to have the opportunity to be able to bond with others over it. And not only that, but it's bonding with people from all over the world. So not only am I getting on and like putting my face on the internet, sharing my tips and tricks, but in the comments and in DMs, messages, things like that, I'm also learning so much from people that watch my videos as well. So it definitely is a give and take both ways. It's really fun to be able to learn from people from all over. And yeah, I really genuinely enjoy that part of having a channel.
Hello, my name is Gerard. My YouTube channel is Gerard's Horticulture Culture. My favorite aspect of having a plant YouTube channel is I can look back and see the progress of my plants, the ones that don't do too well, but the majority of the ones that are flourishing and doing great. It's almost like a memory photo book that's online and accessible to billions of people. So that's the great thing about having a YouTube channel.
What's up, dirty plant hoes and all you dirty plant enthusiasts out there? My name is Rachel, and the name of my YouTube channel is Heart-Shaped Leaves. The coolest thing about having my YouTube channel is probably all the cool new people that I've met. I've met a ton of like-minded people during my plant journey. It's almost been 1 year for me on YouTube, kind of monumental type of thing. So also, it's a hobby that my husband and I get to share together, which is nice. Usually we're on two completely different paths, so this hobby sharing of ours has been really, really nice. It's been nice to have someone you could talk to at home about your plants and all the things that are going on. And also, the coolest thing about having a planty YouTube is on occasion, some really, really nice people will send you some pretty cool plants here and there. So, I mean, that's not the worst thing about having a planty YouTube.
Well, here I am back in the closet recording this. And Maria, you should feel special because I will only go back into the closet for you. Hello, my name is Adam, and I have the YouTube channel Knot Dude, not as in tying knots. By far, my favorite thing about having a YouTube channel is the community. I think as humans, there's something innate in us where we desire community, we desire friendships of like-minded individuals, and the community I have found in the plant community through YouTube has been a saving grace in my life. I started doing YouTube at a point in my life where I was in a huge transition period, and it's like I had this group of people who understood me, this group of people who understood my love, my hobby, and it was like I felt like I belonged, and it was very special to me. I have also, through YouTube, met some of my best friends. I have met other creators that I have just fallen in love with, and we have become such great friends, and it's a blessing because you have people who understand not only your hobby, but you have people who understand the creative aspects and the business aspects, and you can bounce ideas off of each other, and you can share in joys, and you can share in lows, and you can just carry each other's burdens, and you can be support and empathy. It's just really special to be able to connect on multiple different levels with people. And this also goes for people who are regular commenters and subscribers on my YouTube channel that I've developed friendships with. It's such a special bond, and I feel like the majority of plant people are introverted. Not all of them are, but I am definitely an introverted person, and by starting this YouTube channel about plants and having this hobby be on a public platform, it's given me the opportunity to meet people that I probably would never meet before because I would be too scared to even say hi or too scared to even send a message. And through having this platform, I've created friendships with people that are just so special. So I will forever be grateful to YouTube and the plant community for just bringing this joy and this acceptance into my life.
Hey, this is Sharina, and my name is Sharina Talata on YouTube, and I think my favorite thing about having a planty YouTube channel is the growth. Having a YouTube channel, especially about plants, requires so much learning. First of all, about the plants that you have and care for in your home, one. Two, learning about your technology, the camera, uploading to YouTube in and of itself is something to learn. And number three, of course, learning about yourself. There is a lot of mindset shifts that's gotta happen when it comes to having a YouTube channel, and that has to be my favorite thing about it.
The people in the plant community are some of the absolute kindest, most generous people in general that I've ever come across in my entire life, to be honest. My name is Nicole, and my YouTube channel is My Clean Leaves. One of my favorite aspects about having a plant YouTube channel has to be the community that I'm involved in. I started in the plant community in January of 2019, and I have developed so many friendships along this journey that I can't even imagine my life now without some of these people. So I just have to say, the people that the plant community has in it are just so incredible, and I am absolutely happy to be a part of this community.
This is Pam from Pam's Pretty Plants. Besides the obvious warm, gooey feeling of validation that your artistic endeavors being appreciated by total strangers will give you, having my platform has also given me the incredible opportunity to do good things in the world that I might not have been able to do without my channel, without my viewers, without the power in numbers that it gives me. For example, last year, my viewers and I were able to raise money for both the Wild Bird Fund and Team Trees. And because I've chosen to be so open and upfront about the challenges that come with putting yourself out there in front of a bunch of strangers who could potentially say something mean to you, I've actually been able to encourage other people to move past that fear and start their own channel. And even better, then I see those people in turn encouraging other people to start their own channels, and it is just such a beautiful thing, plant friends, that I'm tearing up just thinking about it. So if you have ever had this secret desire to start a YouTube channel, I really hope you do it. I really do, because there are beautiful things on the other side of that fear. You just gotta hit record.
I think it's pretty cool that we have this platform where we can express ourselves creatively. Hey guys, my name is Christian and my YouTube channel name is Crazy Plant Guy. You guys can also find me on Instagram and on TikTok for daily plant vlogs. So one of the reasons why I love having a PlantTube channel is it's a great platform to share your experience and spread the word that plants are freaking cool and that everyone should have them. I think it's pretty cool that we have this platform where we can express ourselves creatively and share our passion for plants, and also watch the interest from others grow and take notice about plants. Oftentimes I get comments or messages that they were inspired to take on plants because of my video or my pictures on Instagram. And I think that's so cool that you kind of have that impact on people and that influence, because I generally do think that if you like plants as a person, you tend to be a better person for the world, if that makes sense. Whether you're just more conscious of nature and just how you go about living life and appreciation for something beautiful that's alive, like plants.
My name is is Daryl Chang, and my YouTube channel is Houseplant Journal. My favorite thing about having the channel, you kind of get to be like the producer of your own little TV show about houseplants. And I've gotten the opportunity to visit a lot of cool houseplant people and see their plants. I always joke that doing the videos is a way that I can invite myself over to see people's plants. So that's kind of fun. My channel also gives me an opportunity to put into video form all the things that I write about with houseplant care. So it's a great way to reach a new audience.
Well, wasn't that just lovely, plant friends? I love talking to Becca. I love hearing about her journey. I learned a lot in our conversation with her, and also it's just so interesting that each of the YouTubers have their own approach and their own motivation and reasons behind why they love their channel so much, and that definitely shows in how all of their channels are so unique and so different. And I encourage you to go click the links in the show notes. I've linked to all of their channels, and maybe go give them a subscribe, because I'm subscribed to all of them, and I think it's really fun to see what they have to offer every week. And also, while you're subscribing, make sure you're subscribed to the Bloom and Grow YouTube show, because I have a lot of fun planty content out there for you, and I've already shot and am currently editing even more that you're not going to want to miss. Thanks again to my Patreon plant friends for supporting Bloom and Grow Radio and helping me get this to as many planty ears out there in the world as possible. I appreciate you. And thank you again to Espoma Organics for sponsoring today's episode. If you need indoor or outdoor potting soil, fertilizers, amendments, horticultural sprays, anything that you need, soil, or if you've got a repotting or gardening situation going on, I have a feeling Espoma has a product for you. So you can visit espoma.com to check out where your local dealer is, or click the link in the show notes to go to my curated Espoma Amazon storefront with all of my favorite picks. Thank you again to our wonderful planty YouTubers who participated in this collaboration. And don't forget to go click the link in the show notes to check out the YouTube video companion to this episode and give everybody a subscribe. And my plant friends, I hope you have beautifully planty weeks. I hope you spend some time disconnecting with your phones, disconnecting with your screens, reconnecting with yourself and your plants this week. And until next time, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you are interested in more fun and educational planty content, well, plant friend, I've got a whole lot for you. Subscribe to the Bloom and Grow YouTube show, which is my YouTube channel where I bring you along for my personal plant journey, as well as share informational content that pairs with our podcast episodes. Follow me at Bloom and Grow Radio on Instagram for behind the scenes, sneak peeks at upcoming episodes, my daily planty lessons and thoughts, and most importantly, tune into my Instagram stories where I am constantly talking with you listeners and plant friends and polling you for content ideas, and I'm always interested in seeing what you are loving these days on Instagram. Join the Bloom and Grow mailing list and get a free download of the Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print that she created exclusively for our community. And if you can, support Bloom and Grow Radio by becoming a plant friend on Patreon. For as little as $4 a month, you not only help me bring these planty and informative episodes to thousands of ears around the world, but you will also get the super secret planty password to our exclusive Bloom and Grow Radio Garden Club Facebook group, which is a wonderfully active group of plant friends of the Bloom and Grow Radio podcast who make up what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is a lot of fun over there. And as always, my sweet plant friends, I am here for you. If you have ideas for episode topics, guests, or if you're possibly a business interested in sponsoring the show, reach out to me because I am here to help all of you keep blooming and keep growing.